Good morning on this beautiful Sunday. Praise God, it's not snowing. do we have children's church today? Not today, okay. Joe Guerrero talks of her daughter. My 5-year-old daughter, Barbara, had disobeyed me and been sent to her room. After a few minutes, I went in to talk to her about what she had done. Teary-eyed, she asked, "Why do we do wrong things, Mommy?" "Sometimes the devil tells us to do something wrong," I replied, "and we listen to him. We need to listen to God instead." To which she sobbed, "But God doesn't talk loud enough." Been there, done that. Today we finish our series on 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 5:17, excuse me. Pray without ceasing. We have shown the why of praying without ceasing. We have shown the how of praying without ceasing. Today we look at the dangers of ceasing to pray without ceasing. Our walk on earth is either light or darkness. Light in His presence, with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Or darkness, which looks to please the flesh apart from God. If we walk from His light to Satan's darkness, we will hear the warning that God gave Cain after he refused Cain's sacrifice in Genesis 4:7. "And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door." Cain removed himself from God, Satan tempted him with sin, and Cain ended up killing Abel. Sin led to death, as it always does in some way or another. The little girl gave us a very valuable truth. God's still, small voice is always available. If we walk with God, praying without ceasing, that still, small voice will lead us, will guide us, will teach us, will direct us. If we leave His walk, Satan then screams the desire of the flesh. In our foolish, fallen state, we hearken to Satan's dark lies, even as we know the truth of God's glorious light. Ensuring that we are always in His presence, we need to pray without ceasing, hearing His still, small voice that will give us His joy. Learning of Him as we share our joys and our petitions with Him, who will answer if we are praying in His name and worshiping for who He is. Let us now look at the dangers of ceasing to pray, leaving the walk in His light for a while, to do what we think is enjoying the darkness of Satan's fleshly world. Turn to James chapter 1. We're going to read from verses 12 to 18. So in James chapter 1, starting at verse 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures." Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to see Your word. We're so thankful to know that as we pray without ceasing, You will guide us. You will give us Your still small voice. You will teach us what it is to worship You and love You. And Lord, we will enjoy the good and perfect gifts from above that You have given for our joy and our abundant life on earth as we look forward to Your return when we will see You as we are. But Lord, we're a foolish people. We are a stiff-necked people. We let the flesh sometimes pull us away from Your glorious walk. We walk into the darkness. And Lord, at that time, we fall into sin. Let us learn how to avoid that, Lord. Let us learn how to avoid the temptations in this life, for they are many, and we are still covered with His flesh. We look forward to the day where our spirit will be one with You. But until then, Lord, teach us to strengthen our spirit in this life, that we may have the abundant joy that You have promised us. We ask all in Your precious Son's dear name. Amen. Now, verse 12 talks about the blessings of enduring temptation. Now, anyone here never have any temptations? Anyone here, there are no temptations available? Always walking perfectly? If you are, you're above Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ was tempted above all men. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. If you listen to a still small voice, it will give you the power to avoid that temptation. Jesus, as I said, was tempted more than any one of us ever were. Satan wanted to bring him down any way he could. He was tempted more than any of you will ever be tempted, and yet without sin, and he is there to help us. Hebrews 4:5. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. As a man, Jesus never sinned for two specific reasons. Reason number one, he's God. Reason number two, in his weakened state, he gave up his godhood to live as a perfect man, and he always was in communion with God the Father. So God the Father was there to strengthen him in his walk, in his prayer, at all times in his life. Endure temptation, you will have victory. A crown of life will await you. You will hear the words at the Bema Seat, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." That is what I want to hear more than anything else in all eternity. Having Jesus Christ commenting that I followed him as a righteous man, and that should be every one of our desires. You will produce much fruit, and your labor will not be in vain. Pray without ceasing, you'll remain in verse 13. Turn at the temptation. You will leave the side of Christ. You will fall to the darkness of temptation because you have left off praying, and the flesh will then become ascendant in your life. Once on your own, that flesh becomes incredibly strong. You will fall into Satan's traps of temptation. You will suffer some sort of death. Walking with God, we will always be able to endure that temptation. Take our eyes off Christ. Take our eyes off prayer. We will get tempted, and then we will fall into sin because we will stop praying without ceasing. When we face temptations, every one of us will, every single day of our life, because Satan hates God, and he hates anyone who follows God. So we need to see three things. If we fall, it's because we start off with confused prayer. Then we go to no prayer. After we go to no prayer, we understand why prayer. So confused prayer. A temptation, make no mistake, is not a sin. If a temptation was a sin, Jesus Christ would have sinned more than any man. A temptation is not a sin. The question is, what do you do with that temptation? Verses 13 to 14 are a turning point in every person's life. Every person's life here. We have faced a temptation. What do we do with that temptation? Make no mistake. God cannot tempt you to do evil. There is no evil in him. But what he can do is he can lower the protections that he has with the Holy Spirit with you to allow Satan to throw something in your path that will tempt you to go away. He will do that for your strength, for your learning, to make you a spiritual adult, for his glory as you choose God instead of choosing Satan. Man followed Satan at the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve had no sin nature. Man still follows Satan to please his own flesh. Drawn of your own lust, man sins by choosing to leave God's holiness to follow Satan's empty fleshly desires. God warns us against justifying ourselves by blaming God, as Adam did in Genesis 3:12. He's sitting there. He's got a fig leaf covering himself. He looks ridiculous. He knows he's sinned. He knows that he is now ashamed of his nakedness. And God asked him, "Have thou eaten the fruit?" Well, the woman that thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And then what happens? Eve blames the serpent. Now, the temptation was there. They knew it was right. They knew it was wrong. They knew as soon as they ate the fruit, the difference between right and wrong, and they knew they'd done wrong. But they tried to justify their actions. They tried to blame God by saying, "That beautiful woman you gave me, oh, she caused me to sin. It was so horrible." Then Eve said, "That snake was so beautiful on that tree, on a beautiful tree. How could I do anything?" So they tried to blame God when it was all 100% their fault. They became dissatisfied with following God, and they wanted to be their own gods. We have the same problem today. God tempts no man, both of them fouled the flesh. When we fall, it's not God's fault. We have fouled the flesh. They blame God for their own failures. We can tend to do the same thing. Lusts are good desires if they're used as God intends. But intense by the flesh over the spirit, they become sinful. No longer praying without ceasing, we become a friend of the world. Becoming a friend of the world, we have a carnal mind. A carnal mind, Romans 8:7 says, is enmity with God. Now, you face the temptation. What do you do with that temptation? Now what? You want to misuse a gift that God's given you. It's there. It's in front of you. It's so easy to take. What do you do? Well, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Our way of escape? Pray without ceasing, that you walk with God, and God will give you the steps to avoid it. How to keep temptations to a manageable level? Now, Skip Bayless and several other coaches have talked about, you know, we read all the time about some idiot athlete going into a bar, getting himself in trouble, doing something stupid. What they said was, nothing good happens after midnight in a bar. Why is that? It's dark. It's sinful. People who like the sin are there. If you're there, you're going to fall into their traps. Lay with dogs, you get fleas. Fellowship with sinners, you will follow their sins. Stay away from places which make temptations unbearable to your flesh. If you have a problem with drinking, don't go witness in a bar. You know, stay away from people that will tend to make you sin and fall to the weaknesses of your flesh. Job knew of this difficulty. In Job 31:1, he says that he made a covenant with his eyes to avoid looking at and thinking of a maid. He had weakness of the flesh. He made a covenant with his eyes. He admitted that weakness. He constantly prayed to God that God would take him from that weakness, and he didn't fall. Again, could he have fallen? If he had stopped walking with God, if he stopped praying without ceasing, yes, he could easily have fallen, but he made sure that he had a constant walk with God. A proper walk, praying without ceasing, will keep you from the temptations out there. A confused prayer, in which you justify the temptation, you justify falling to the sin, you blame God, and you end up going with improper communications with the world, they will corrupt your good manners, and you will leave God's side, and you will stop praying. Now, when you have no prayer, now what? You're tempted by Satan's world. Leaving the still small voice of God, you yield to that temptation. You stop praying without ceasing, as Israel did when they worshipped the golden calf. Remember when Moses went up to Mount Sinai? Well, I don't know about this Moses. We need something to worship. So Aaron threw a bunch of gold in the furnace, and he said a golden calf came out. Now he was trying to justify himself again. But what happened with that golden calf? They ceased praying without ceasing to God, and it says they rose up to play without ceasing. And they suffered greatly because of it. If you leave God's side, you will hearken to the Satan screaming about the pleasures of sin for a season. The gifts God gives us are joy eternity. Sin is the pleasures of using those pleasures for a season and not giving any glory to God and only satisfying the flesh. Turn to 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. It shows us the dangers. So John chapter 2, starting verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. How many of you want to abide forever? Do the will of God. How do you do the will of God? You walk with God. How do you walk with God? Pray without ceasing. Instead, we tend to be like Demas, who forsook Paul because he loved this present world. He laid with the world's dogs, he became separated from God, and he suffered the world's fleas. You become more and more carnal as you do that, losing the sweet fellowship of praying without ceasing. Have you ever seen an angry Christian just out there? Just a miserable individual. That's because he's left the side of God. He's left the joy that he once had. And he blames God for losing that joy when it's his fault. God didn't leave him. He left God. That is the problem of stopping to pray without ceasing. We see the sin starts in the mind as you contemplate it. Now Matthew 5:28 says, "Whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." The eyes have turned. The prayer has ceased, and you justify your sin as your mind has turned carnal. Which is why Paul told Timothy to flee youthful lusts. Not just avoid them, but run away from them, as sin will take you over and will defeat you as an enemy. Pray without ceasing to quickly return to a proper walk if you find yourself falling. Now, talked before. No, in an airline accident. You go through everything, and it's almost always pilot error at the end. The pilot did something to put that airplane into a situation that the airplane had an accident. But there was a long chain before that that led to that problem. Break any one of those links in the chain, it doesn't happen. If you find yourself turning away from God, being tempted, being pulled away because you haven't prayed, guess what? You can start to pray again, and God will direct your paths back to him. But you have to pray to him to do that. He will let you go away to teach you. Now, verse 15 says, moving from contemplating to falling into sin leads to death. This death can be of the flesh, it can be of the fruit of the Spirit, or it can be death of fellowship with God. Follow the flesh, you receive the reward of the flesh. Turn over to Romans chapter 6, verses 21 to 23. Part of this is the very famous Romans Road. So, chapter 6, starting verse 21. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Cease praying and do what is right in your own eyes. Please the flesh. Death is the result. Now, excusing sin and committing that sin, falling into temptation, justifying yourself, always leads to death. Cain fell to the pride of life, being wroth with God. He killed Abel. Solomon fell to the lust of the flesh. His unified kingdom died. Ananias and Sapphira fell to the lust of the eyes, which is money and pride. Lying to the Holy Spirit, God killed them right then. Let sin have your place in the life. You cease praying without ceasing. You become carnal. And there are consequences. 1 John 5:17 warns believers that there is a sin unto death. Written to believers, it is a warning to walk with God and not with the world. If you get so far afield from walking with God, God, in his mercy, will actually kill you early, will actually take you home in judgment, that you don't damage his testimony and you don't damage yourself further. So don't enjoy the pleasures of the flesh. Instead, go back and walk with God to enjoy the abundance of the Spirit. So, we look at someone who has gone from confused prayer to no prayer, who has blamed God or justified a sin to falling to that sin. Now what? We look to why prayer. We now live in Satan's carnal kingdom of fleshly, sinful lusts that lead to darkness and death. All lusts have their source in God's principle that lead to joy. Do not err, my beloved brethren, he says. Use him as God intends. We glorify him. We have his joy. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. They are perverted by the sin nature. God hath nothing to do with sin. God hath nothing to do with that at all. He has nothing to do with our temptations. Those temptations are put in front of us and we fall to them. What happens is we demand our fleshly desires over God's holiness. One gift, for example, is that of marriage. Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Marriage is given as a picture of the unity between Jesus Christ and his church. It's a comfort given to each other as we serve God as one, helping, encouraging each other. Lust, back from Matthew when we talked about committing adultery in your heart, lust desires the physical pleasures of marriage without the spiritual commitment that brings that joy. Pleasures of sin for a season, instead of a lifetime union of spiritual joy, one with another. God will judge that. All gifts have in their purpose a way to glorify God. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is no shadow of turning in Him. He is our designer. He is our creator. He is our sustainer. He has given us the mind of Christ. And His word, which John 17:17 says, is truth. We need no other truth. We need no understanding. We don't need to justify ourselves. We go to His word and we walk with Him, listening to His still small voice. Our flesh is carnal, sold under sin, desiring the pleasures of sin for a season, caring nothing about God. That is what every one of your flesh is. The Spirit is supposed to control the flesh, and it will if we yield to the mind of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says exactly that. We are made a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. So, how do we cease from erring? Remember, you are a new creation. Pray without ceasing to learn of them. 1 Corinthians 2:16 once again says we have the mind of Christ. The same verse says, who are we to instruct Him? How do we learn and use the mind given to us? No, if we're a babe in Christ, remember when you were a baby? Every one of you were very good at the jobs you have right now as a baby, right? It takes a while to cultivate that. It takes a while to understand how to use it. It takes a while to become mature with the mind of Christ. So we have to walk with God constantly, that He can teach us. He can show us how to use it. He can show us how to defeat those temptations. James 1:5, ask for wisdom to learn how to use His mind of peace, joy, and holiness in this life, and He will give it to you, allowing you to become a spiritual adult and flee the youthful lusts that Paul warned Timothy about. Let us walk and pray without ceasing with and toward God, begotten by the word of truth, being a first fruit of His creatures, that we can bring others to Jesus Christ. So, looking at this, we have spent 3 weeks on one very small verse. Pray without ceasing. But it's sort of the centerpiece of the whole thing of the Bible. We need to pray without ceasing. We need to have that fellowship with God. We need to follow God in all ways because our flesh will take us far afield. We learn the importance of praying without ceasing, enjoying His fellowship as we mature in Him, worshiping Him and loving Him as the all-powerful, eternal, sovereign creator God of the universe who has loved and adopted us, being rich in His joy, peace, wonder, and confidence. Today, seeing praying without ceasing as a way to cease sin. Keeping a focus on Christ, the temptations of the carnal world will not ruin us. Turning from fleshly temptation to our spiritual Father as we flee youthful lusts. Let us remember, we are carnal. We are sold unto sin. When tempted, let us ensure we lay no charge on God's behalf because it is our fault. It is our carnal lust that made His perfect gifts for the Spirit and allows us to waste them on physical pursuits. If tempted, what do? If tempted, we pray without ceasing. If forgetting to pray and fail, come back to God. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Pray without ceasing. Avoid the death of His joy. Ensure you do not stray enough to suffer the sin unto death, either by walking with Him as you pray without ceasing or by returning to Him and in repentance if you do fail. Why did I say if? When you do fail. Because all of us will allow the flesh to overcome the Spirit at some time. If that happens, He's our Heavenly Father. He knows His children are sinful. He knows His children will yield to the flesh. But He gives us the opportunity to come to Him, repent, admit it, and then He will take us back and we can continue to pray without ceasing. Have joy in the abundant life that God gives you today, thanking Him for every good gift and every prayer, using His gifts as designed for His glory and our joy, producing fruit for Him that we may lead others to the cross. With new fellowship, more joy as we see others mature with the same joy that we have, led there by our example because we prayed without ceasing, giving them an opportunity to do the same. Let us not listen to the screaming temptation of Satan's world of darkness like the little girl did, falling to the desires of the flesh. Let us pray without ceasing to that God of light, constantly walking with Christ and hearkening to that still, small voice that is always available to us, leading us to His kingdom of light and showing us how to be those spiritual adults, which will have joy with Him, unspeakable and evermore. With that, what do we need to do? We need to turn our eyes upon Jesus. So turn your hymnals to to page 326. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to come to your throne of grace. We're so thankful to know that you are there. We're so thankful to know that you sent your Son, that by his stripes we are healed. If we accept the fact that we're sinners, repent of those sins, admit that we are the ones that put him on the cross, and accept that as our punishment, you, by faith, will raise us up as sons and daughters of the Most High God. And then, Lord, you will give us a life of joy, an abundant life, if we pray without ceasing, walking with you constantly, letting ourselves be led by you, guided in all ways. And, Lord, all of us tend to stray at times. When we do so, remind us, call out to us, scream out over Satan's loud, fleshly voice, that you may call us back again to the joy that we once knew. If there's anybody here, Lord, first of all, who has never been saved, allow them to be saved today. Allow them to come to me, and let me show them in your word exactly what that means. It's not my way, Lord. It's your way from your word. If there's anybody here who's lost that joy because they have let temptation move them away from your perfect walk, prick their hearts, Lord. Call them back to your side that they may once again experience the joy they once knew. And as we go, Lord, let us go out into this world being that first fruit of Christians, showing others exactly what a Christian is. We ask it all in your precious Son's dear name. Amen. And with that, we'll go downstairs. You are dismissed.
still